promise of God. You know, we're living in some very exciting times. We're living in the days that were prophesied by the Old Testament prophets all throughout time that God would do something new in the earth. You know, God made covenant that He would work in every generation by His Spirit and by His Word. And I believe that through every generation of time, God has been in the earth working by His Spirit. And when Jesus came on the scene and paid the price for our sin and for corruption that was in the earth, when He died and when He was buried and when He was raised again, He did it for one purpose, that the Spirit of God would tabernacle on the inside of you and I. And not only would the Spirit tabernacle on the inside of you and I, but the Spirit of God would come upon us in a rich measure to use us to bless hurting and broken people. Hallelujah. And so we are living, you know, the Bible says that Jesus arrived on the scene in the last days. If Jesus arrived on the scene in the last days, and that was 2,000 years ago, man, where are we now on the spectrum of time? Jesus is coming soon. And Jesus is working in the earth by His Holy Spirit. And today, God is pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. And you were a recipient of that at one point in your life. When you confessed Jesus as Lord over your life, you received the Spirit of God into your heart. You were born again, born of the Spirit of God. Don't you remember that experience? Wasn't that a wonderful experience? When God transferred you from darkness to light, when God opened up your spiritual eyes and you saw Jesus for the first time, you discovered that you had a heavenly Father who loved you, who had a plan for you and made provision for your life. You remember that day? Set my heart on fire. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for what He did on the cross for you and I. He made it possible for the Spirit of God to come up and take residence in your heart. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit this morning. And we're going to do some praying this morning. Because I don't know about you, but church ought not be a spectator experience for you. Church ought to be a participatory experience for you. And I'll tell you what, you know, after we suffered such a great blow and just a great setback and a real opportunity to get discouraged and get into despair, I'll tell you what I do is I bend my knee. I get on the carpet. I begin to pray. Hallelujah. That's the greatest place of power for you and I, the church, is when we get on our knees and pray. That's when God shows up. So we're going to do some praying this morning. Are you with me? Now, I don't want to disappoint. If you thought you're going to come and get a 3-point sermon, I'm sorry to disappoint you. That's not going to happen today. I'm going to give a little instruction, and then we're going to just pray with the Spirit of God and demonstrate a few things. Hallelujah. God wants to show Himself real to you in your personal life. He's a God of power, a God of love, and He wants to demonstrate that to you and I. James chapter 5, verse 7. It says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. You know, the farmer, when he plants the seed in the earth, he's depending upon something. He's relying for something to take place. What is that? Rain. If he plants the seed in the earth and it don't rain, he's in trouble. Listen, God has committed us to the ministry of reconciliation. Every single one in this room, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have been enlisted into the ministry called the Ministry of Reconciliation. You are a farmer who plants seed. But there's someone that you can't do without. It's called, I should say, He's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to us as the rain, as the early and the latter rain. And if we do not have the Holy Spirit's help, then we cannot produce harvest for God. International Family Church, you are a harvest machine in these last days. That is what God has called us to do, to reach our generation, to reach New England with the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? You cannot do it in your own strength. You can't do it with your own charisma. You can't do it with your degrees or your knowledge. You can't do it by virtue of your position or status, whether by work or the marketplace or in society. The only way you can do it is to get God's super on your natural. You need God's help. Do you ever look at yourself in the mirror and say, boy, do I need God's help? I've said that to myself. I thought that many times. I look in the mirror and said, boy, I'm an unfinished piece of work. But thank God for what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He perfects that which concerns you and me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God's still working in you? Hallelujah. If you're breathing, God's still working in you. There's opportunity for growth and breakthrough. Hallelujah. So God is endeavoring to move in every single generation by His Spirit and by His Word. And you know what? He selected you. He selected you. You know, God believes in you. Think of the investment that God, your Father, made for you. He sent His very best, Jesus. He paid the price, shed precious blood. Jesus went the extra mile. He made payment so that you could be in a place where God could use you. Not just be in you, but to flow through you. I mean, it's one thing and it's wonderful to get saved and have God come into you. Oh, but it's a whole nother thing when God gets a hold of you by the Holy Ghost and you get baptized with the Spirit of God and you are immersed in His power. Then you go from being a bucket to a pipeline. And I'd rather be a pipeline anytime versus a bucket. I mean, no more water passes through the pipeline than the bucket. Amen? And so God is endeavoring to reach people. God has souls on the forefront of His mind. I mean, every time, you know, God doesn't wake up in the morning. I mean, He's always awake. But the Bible says that He's searching to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for that person who would, whose heart would be perfect towards Him. In other words, they would be open to God. They would repent. You know, there's people ready to repent right now. There are people, many times we think about the person who's so hard and so adverse to the gospel. But I'll tell you what, there are people in your life that are ready to repent right now. And God the Holy Spirit knows who they are. But God the Holy Spirit needs vessels that He can use supernaturally to connect with those people, to plant the seed, to love on them, and to demonstrate God is real to them. God the Holy Spirit needs you and I. And He's not an it. He's a person. He's a gentleman. He can be grieved by our sin. He can be grieved by our talk. But He also, we can set Him loose in our lives. We can release His power and ability through our lives by believing and trusting in the plan that the Father has for you and I. Oh, hallelujah. I want to give the Holy Spirit the fullest room in my life. I want to have Him, I want to give Him the pleasure of working through me. Don't you want to give the Holy Spirit pleasure to work through you? Have you ever been used by God to say, maybe lay hands on someone and pray for their healing, or to maybe share the gospel with someone and lead a person to know the Lord? Or have you ever been in a situation where someone asked you to pray and you prayed and God gave you just a word of encouragement for that person? What just rose up on the inside of you as a result of that experience? Pure pleasure. Pure joy because God used you. You're experiencing the pleasure of your Father when you obey Him and step out of your comfort zone and just love on people and share the gospel with them and sow the seed and plant something good in their hearts. The Holy Spirit wants to use each and every one of us. Don't confine the Holy Spirit to this pulpit. Don't confine Him to the pulpit. Now, you know, we do that in religious circles because it's a lot easier to just coast throughout the week and then come to church on Sunday and say, well, pastor's filled with the Holy Ghost, let him do it. The staff's filled with the Holy. Let them do. No. Don't regulate the Holy Ghost to just. He's not limited to this pulpit. He wants to work through your life, where you live, in the marketplace, in the community. He wants to manifest and demonstrate that God is real, and He's going to use you as a human billboard. Human billboard. Amen. You're the only one that can reach some of the people in your life. I can't reach them, but you can't. You have a connection point. And if you allow the Holy Spirit to take hold of your life, He will use you in ways you never thought possible. He will use your mouth. He will use your hands. He will use the disposition of you and your face. He'll use everything about your personality and your gifting to bless your world. But you need to see yourself as a farmer. Say, I'm a farmer. Tell your neighbor, you're a farmer. We are farmers of this word, the seed, the incorruptible seed of the word of God. And I'll tell you what, you just keep planting seed long enough, the inevitable is going to happen. Something's going to sprout up in the hearts of the people that you minister to. You might not be there to harvest it. Maybe someone else will come along and harvest it. But if you'll just be faithful to plant seed into people's hearts about the love of God and the redeeming work of our Savior Jesus, God is faithful to see to it that that thing's going to sprout out. Amen. Parents, you sow the Word of God into your kids, you take heart, that seed's going to sprout up. God's going to see to it. Amen? He's going to send rain upon your family. He's going to send rain upon New England. He's going to send rain upon International Family Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you probably think, I've had enough of rain right now. I've had enough of rain right now. But we need the rain of the Holy Spirit. We need His presence and we need His power. And we need to look to the Word and find out just how does God operate? How does God operate? The Bible says that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And we see that the Holy Spirit manifests in a variety of ways. We know the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12. There's speaking gifts, tongues and interpretation and prophecy. There's the power gifts, the doing gifts of workings of miracles, special faith and laying on hands for healing. And then there's those seeing gifts, discerning of spirits and words of knowledge. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to manifest in a variety of ways in our personal lives. And it's not just for this pulpit. It's for you as a parent. It's for you as a businessman. It's for you as a believer, a minister of reconciliation. God wants to manifest. That's the biblical pattern. That's the way He wants to show up in your life. So you need to believe God for it. The Bible says to desire earnestly to prophesy. I believe when you begin to pray, you'll begin to prophesy. If you don't pray, you've got nothing to say. Come on, if you're not in the prayer closet and have a real time with God, you've got nothing to offer people. You've got nothing to say. But when you pray, I guarantee you, the Spirit of God will give you something to say. It'll be life-changing. It'll be a word in due season. It'll be something that'll bless the hearts that are hungry and hurting. Hallelujah. And the Bible says to desire earnestly to prophesy. When you begin to pray and begin to speak for God, those gifts will begin to manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many want God to manifest in your life? Wave at me. Oh, we all do. Are you hungry for it today? So let's look at the life of Jesus. Jesus did minister as God in all His glory. He ministered as a man anointed with the Holy Spirit. In fact, it wasn't until He was 30-some-odd years of age when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus and He was baptized in the River Jordan. And we begin to see some patterns as to how the Holy Spirit took hold of Jesus' life and worked through Him and brought tremendous blessing and healing and breakthrough into the lives of people. Hallelujah. Jesus did that on purpose because He was the forerunner of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. Isn't that right? What do you say? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. and everything in between. He's our everything, as we sang this morning. Well, He's given us biblical pattern to follow. And if Jesus had to walk in that pattern, what makes us think we can do something different? We need to follow the biblical pattern. So let's go over to Luke chapter 3. And let's look at briefly here at the life of Jesus. And there in chapter 3, verse 21, here is a wonderful picture. Every time I've meditated on this passage, I've always seen us, International Family Church, as a church body represented here. It says in verse 21, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while He prayed, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended bodily in bodily form like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven which said, You are My beloved Son, and You I am well pleased. This is a beautiful picture, not just of Jesus, but I believe of us, the church. Jesus was in the river praying. See the picture here. He was in the river praying. He had the spirit of prayer upon His life. And as He stepped in that river praying, He was baptized. You know what it means to be water baptized? That means you fully surrender your life to the plans and the purposes of God. And so here is Jesus in the river praying, and He has surrendered His life, and He has fully identified with the Father's plan. He said, God, not my will, but Your will be done. Some of you need to say that this morning. You more identify with your own plans than God's plans. Today, make a decision that you're going to identify fully with what the Word says, with what God has pronounced over your life. Make sure that today you make a decision, I'm going to surrender my all to God's plans. In fact, you know, God's so much smarter than you. Did you ever tell yourself that? I think for some of us that might be a revelation. But God, He's smarter than you. He's omniscient. That means He lives outside the bounds of time. He knows everything, past, present, future. I mean, He's smarter than you. Would you agree? Amen. Jesus was in the river praying, fully surrendered to God, fully identifying with the plans and the purposes of God. And then the Scripture says that the heavens were opened. The heavens were open. He had full and complete access to the throne of God. You know what Jesus secured for us? Divine favor with God. The Bible says, come boldly to the throne room of grace, that you might find help in time of need. God the Father fully expects that you and I as believers pray like Jesus prayed, and get results like Jesus got results. He fully expects that of us, that we come boldly, that we receive grace, that we receive everything we have need of, not just for ourselves, but for the lives we are reaching out to. Are you listening? Heavens were open. Is heaven opened over your life this morning? Can God speak over your life and say, I am well pleased with you? Well, listen, when you fully surrender to God and say, God, not my will, but Your will be done, I identify with Your plan and purpose, you know what? That pleases the heart of your Father. He's pleased with you. He's pleased with you. You enter into the pleasure and the acceptance of your Heavenly Father. He is pleased with you. Hallelujah. So here's the picture. Jesus in the river praying. The heavens opened. God speaking. That's International Family Church. That's what God wants to do here. He wants us to be a people that have captured the spirit of prayer. He wants us to be in that river praying. You know, a river will take you somewhere. In fact, a river can be very refreshing. I don't know if you've ever been up to the mountains, up in New Hampshire, in the rivers, how fresh and cold that water is, and clean. You can just scoop up a little and just sip it. It's refreshing. God wants us in that river praying. God wants every single one of us capturing the spirit of prayer. Now, you know what? There is no official office called intercessor. There is no official office called intercessor. Every single one of us are called to intercede. Every single one of us, the Bible says, as Jesus is, so are we in this world. What is Jesus doing right now? He's at the right hand of God the Father doing what? Interceding. What did Jesus tell Peter before he denied him? He said, Peter, I pray that your faith would not fail you. Thank God we have someone at the right hand of God the Father that's interceding and praying for us. And each and every one of us as a believer have the ability to stand in the gap, to lay hold of God and to lay hold of someone who's hurting, broken, and lost, and intercede and bring the hand of God into that situation. Bring the presence of God to bear on that individual. Bring the power of God to show up in that person's life. There's no office of intercessor. Believers are intercessors. As He is, so am I in this world. Do you see that? God has called you to pray. Now, the reason why some people are more proficient in prayer, because they've worked at it more. I've read a lot of books on prayer, but I'll tell you what, I didn't capture the spirit of prayer till I started praying. Amen. And not only that, but I hooked up with other people who had something on them. And something happened as I got involved with, you know, I remember distinctly Brother Mark Brzee's prayer rallies he'd have around the country. We had one here at one time. We went to one in Washington, D.C. And there was something on those meetings. There was a spirit of prayer on those meetings, and I caught something from that. Listen, if you stay all by yourself, you'll catch nothing. But if you hook yourself up with this body, get with the program, allow the Holy... I mean, a lot of times you just need to make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. Some of you just get so busy trying to make ends meet, trying to do this, trying to do this. I got to do this, I got to do that. You need to make yourself available to the Holy Spirit. Just by being available, the Holy Spirit will see that as an invitation to begin to move in your life. Hallelujah. So God wants us to be in the river praying. He wants the spirit of prayer working through our lives. You know, there's no greater privilege for the child of God than to pray. Because think about this. God has given you the authority to pray. You bear the name of Jesus upon your life. You have authority vested in you. You have the privilege of actually moving the hand of God in the earth. You have the privilege of actually altering the course of someone's life. You have the privilege of actually stopping the enemy in his tracks and preventing destruction in a person's life. I don't think we realize the power that God has vested in us when it comes to praying. Yet there's a call to pray. There's a call to step into that river. And you know, when you begin to catch hold of the spirit of prayer, it'll take you to places that you may not want to go. It'll bring you to places where you got to make some decisions, consecrations, dedications to God. In fact, you get into the river praying, you'll have some confrontations with yourself, with your flesh, with issues in your own soul. I mean, you can't get away not changing when you're praying. Because the light begins to magnify in the issues of your soul, those things that have held you back, those things that have been agitating your heart, those things that have been a trouble in your relationships. God wants to deal with those things in your life. And when you begin to pray, that river takes you down a series of banks where you got to stop and make some decisions, make some consecrations, ask God to forgive you, lop off some things in your life that don't need to be there. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm preaching good right now. Let the Holy Spirit take you down the river of prayer. Let Him change you. The great thing about prayer is you come away changed. We go from one degree of glory to another as we behold His face, as we draw nigh to Him in prayer. He begins to work in us. He begins to change us. Hallelujah. I believe International Family Church lives under an open heaven. There's a clear sky above. There's no clouds over us. There's a clear sky over us. There's free access to the throne room of God. As we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, there's access. There's connection there. You know, prayer is all about connection. Prayer is all about connection. We have the ability to connect with God. We have the ability to connect with omnipotence. We have the ability to connect with omniscience. Oh, hallelujah. There's a connection point. We have the name of Jesus. We have an open heaven. And God is pleased with you who make yourself available to God and say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Oh, hallelujah. So Jesus is baptized with the Holy Spirit. A dove came upon him representing the Holy Ghost. And in chapter 4, verse 1, watch what happens here. I tell you what, you allow the Holy Spirit to move in your life, He'll take you on a journey. He'll take you on an adventure. And so the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus. And look at chapter 4, verse 1. It says, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And there we have the account of Jesus being tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for a 40-day time of prayer and fasting. And right there, that's where the battle began. I'll tell you what, prayer can sometimes be a battle because you got to get past your own flesh. You got to get past your own reasoning. Oh, it's amazing when we pray how everything that has to be done begins to rise up in our mind. It's amazing how we think about, well, what's on TV tonight? Or what's in the fridge that I can partake of? You know, a lot of times, I've had many times where I've had just these unrestlings going on inside my heart. And I thought, I need to eat some food. I need to go out to a restaurant. I need to do this. I need to satisfy. Why am I so restless? The Holy Spirit was saying, I need you to pray. When you get that restless feeling on the inside of you, that's a sign that the Holy Spirit is bidding you to pray. There are things in your future that concern your life. He wants you alert to. He wants to help you with. There are unknowns. You know, they say, you know, what you don't know can't hurt you. There are a lot of unknowns in your life that the Holy Spirit knows. He wants to reveal to you that will save you heartache and trouble, money and finances, and so on and so on. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. Lead us to the prayer closet. And there's the battle taking place. Jesus was tempted, but I like verse 14. Go to verse 14. What's it say here? Jesus, he's coming out of the temptation experience. The Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. He came out of that temptation empowered by the Holy Spirit. You know, you are no match for the devil. You're no match for his bag of tricks. You're no match for his subtleties. I mean, he's been around a lot longer than you. He knows human nature. He's dealt with human nature over centuries. And he has his bag of tricks. He wants to plunder you. He wants to destroy your life. How many believe that? But I'll tell you what, when the Holy Ghost gets on you, the devil is no match for you. Because you have the Holy Spirit upon you, not just within you, but He's upon you. And the devil cannot defeat you when you are full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit. He will bring you to a place of empowerment and victory. And that's what Jesus did. He was a man anointed of the Holy Spirit. He was tempted just like you and I are tempted, yet without sin. He gave us the pattern. All of us in this room have had temptations. Raise your hand if you've had a temptation. If your hand's not raised, I'm going to pray for liars at the end of the service. A wise man will recognize that he can be tempted. Anytime you think you are just, I'm high and mighty, you're headed for a fall. Every one of us have got flesh. I mean, pinch your face. You've got flesh. You've got something to contend with. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the Spirit's help. Hallelujah. And so Jesus came in the power of the Spirit. And this all happened before he stepped into his ministry of reconciliation. Here he comes in chapter 4, verse 16. He comes into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he opened up to Isaiah chapter 61. The Bible says that he found where it was written of him. And he began to quote Isaiah chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. How many believe you have the same commission? Here Jesus found where it was written of him. He went right to the scripture. And he said here, as he read that, he said, "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears." And right at that point, Jesus, there began a power flow, and he began to heal, and he began to cast out devils, and he began to forgive sins, and he began to do the works of God from that point. Hallelujah. We, as the believers, need to find where it's written of us. Where do you find where the Scripture is written about you? Is it the Old Testament? No, it's not the Old Testament. Is it the Gospels? No, it's not the Gospels. You know where you find where it's written of you? The New Testament epistles. And when you make a commitment to study this word and show yourself approved unto God, you will become fully identified with the way God sees you. You'll discover who you are in Christ. You'll discover that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You will discover that the greater one lives and abides in you. You will discover that you are a son, not the son, but a son of God. And if you're a son of God, you're an heir with Christ. Oh, the New Testament epistles are rich and full of how God sees you. Jesus was full of the Word and he was full of the Spirit. He fully identified with the Word of God. And so now God could use him. It's not enough that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You got to be filled with the Word of God. The Word and the Spirit work together. And so when you fully identify, when you find in the Scripture where it's written of you, I mean, I've got key Scriptures in here that minister to my heart, that bring strength, focus, and vision. You've got Scriptures in this New Testament that bring focus, vision, and passion into your heart, don't you? Yes. Have you identified with those things? Have you identified with those things? I think this Bible, whatever kind of Bible you have, sits too long on people's coffee tables, bookcases, back seat of the car. Oh, it's gotten real quiet now. Think about what I'm saying to you this morning. If you don't make yourself available to this Word and open up this book and say, "Holy Spirit, speak to my heart. What are you saying to me through this book?" You know, people in the body of Christ are calling 1-800 numbers, going to meetings, relying on other people to satisfy their need for identity and purpose in their life. Listen, the only thing that's going to satisfy your identity and purpose for living is find out what the Apostle Paul wrote in these Scriptures concerning you. When Jesus, just before his death, he told his disciples, "There are so many things I desire to share with you, but you cannot bear them now." They were not yet born of the Spirit. They did not have the Holy Spirit residing on the inside of their heart. Oh, but there came a time after Jesus' resurrection. The Bible says that the disciples were meeting together and Jesus just walked, the doors were shut, and Jesus just walked right through the wall, showed up. Proved himself, "I am the resurrected Christ, glory to God. I'm not a spirit, I'm a physical. I've got a physical body." And the Bible says that Jesus said, "Peace." I mean, they were shocked when they saw him. They thought it was a ghost. I mean, you'd think it was a ghost if something walked right through the wall into your meeting. They thought he was a ghost. Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Peace be unto you." And the Bible says that he breathed the Holy Spirit on them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit. And so right at that point in time, the disciples were born of the Spirit of God. They were washed with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit and their spirit became one. The Holy Spirit took up residence in their heart. Oh, that was a supernatural experience, wouldn't you agree? But you know what? There was still more to come. After he was with his disciples, we know the story how the angels took Jesus and they ascended with Jesus up into heaven. And as, the disciples are watching him go, you know, the angels are standing nearby and they're saying, why do you watch him go? In the same manner, he's coming back. But Jesus gave them instruction. Jesus said, go and wait for the promise of the Father. Jesus, during the feast day, lifted up his voice, and I believe he said it with such force and such a shout. He said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me, and I'll cause out of his belly for rivers of living water to flow. John chapter 7, verse 37 to 38 and 39, you read it. If any man thirsts, out of his belly, out of his spirit, will flow rivers of living water. And he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He was talking about the day when believers would be immersed into the power of the Spirit, controlled by, led by the Holy Spirit. Not just the Holy Spirit dwelling in, but the Holy Spirit coming upon. Look at Titus 3:5. I'm almost done. Then we're going to pray. Titus chapter 3. Are you getting anything this morning? Hallelujah. Chapter 3, verse 5. I'll start with verse 4. When the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which he has done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. Now notice this, underline this is going to help you understand something. God saved us through the washing of regeneration. What is the washing of regeneration? It's talking about the new birth. See, before you came to Christ, you were an unregenerate person. You were an unregenerate person. But when Jesus came into your life, the Holy Spirit took up residence and he washed you with the new birth. You were born again. Isn't that what Jesus told Nicodemus? He says, look, you can't skirt the issue. You must be born again. Church attendance is going to help you. Giving good things away isn't going to help you. Being a good citizen is not going to help you. Being a good moral person is not going to help you. You're unregenerate in your nature. You're self-centered. You need God to regenerate your life. You need God, the Holy Spirit, to come in and change your spiritual nature. We call it the new birth. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you that you must be born again. It's a necessity. But notice again here. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Actually, the phrase renewing actually speaks of a revival of power. So God, the Holy Spirit, comes in, he regenerates your spirit, and he gives you the ability and the capacity to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. A revival of power. God's power operating in men. Now, Jesus said, these signs shall follow the believer. They shall speak with tongues. They shall speak with tongues. And we find when the Holy Spirit came on the scene in the book of Acts, chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, Jesus, after 40 days walking on the earth, proving himself to be the resurrected Christ, over 500 witnesses saw Jesus in his resurrected body. He told his disciples, wait for the promise of the Father. They had a 10-day prayer meeting. What do you think they were doing? This is not a trick question. What do you think they were doing? They were praying, searching the Scriptures, getting ready for what is this promise of the Father? Then the day of Pentecost came, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was poured out, and tongues of fire, cloven tongues, set on the heads of these disciples in the upper room, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And they didn't stop there in the upper room. They went right out into the marketplace, and they began to speak the Word of God with boldness. The Holy Ghost came upon them. They got something called boldness. Like Saul, when the Holy Spirit came upon him in the Old Testament, the Bible says that the Spirit turned him into another man. When the Holy Spirit gets upon you, He'll turn you into another person. He'll cause you to get outside yourself. Woo, glory to God. Get to the place where you're saying things and declaring things and praying things, and you'd kind of step outside. You say, I can't believe I just prayed that. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit upon you. You step out beyond your limitations, beyond your flesh, beyond your reasoning. Hallelujah. And that's not reserved for this pulpit. That's meant for your life. God wants to take you out of your own suit. See things from His perspective. And He wants to use you supernaturally. Many times we're so constricted with our natural eyes. Jesus didn't judge things by His natural eyes. He judged after the Spirit. He walked after the Spirit. We need the Spirit's help. We need a fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit. When the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, this was never meant to be chronicled and memorialized and set in a library. This is the event that took place. This was meant to be a daily experience for every single believer. That as we as we pray in the Holy Spirit, what was that? I was just praying in tongues. When we pray in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes upon us in a rich measure. And He enables us to get outside of our flesh, outside of our reasonings, and He puts us in a place to be witnesses. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. This is what Jesus told His disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He shall make you to be witnesses. He didn't say anything about doing witnessing. He didn't say anything about handing out tracts. He didn't say anything about some kind of program. He said the Holy Spirit will transform your life so that you are now a witness for God. A witness has influence. A witness makes a mark. A witness cannot be denied. A witness is recorded in the courtroom of justice. God will make you a witness to those around you. Oh, hallelujah. How many want to be a witness for God in your community? Amen. God using you in a supernatural way. God showing up on your life. God's super on your natural. Hallelujah. I like that phrase. I think that makes the devil mad. And I say, I can have God's super on my natural. I mean, God can take whoever I am, my personality, my flaws, you know, everything that you might like about me and might not like about me. It doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit likes me. When I make myself available to Him, He likes to come on me. When you make yourself available to the Holy Spirit and you say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Shatala maha setele bakatu. Haprema sitere betes. I make myself available to you, Holy One. Manifest your power in me. Let your presence flow in me. Sapa tele mediko bandeshte. And as I pray, something happens. The Holy Spirit comes upon me. When you pray and you make yourself available to God, thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for coming into my life. I make myself available to you. When you do that, God's pleased. The heavens are open, the river's flowing, and the Holy Spirit is coming upon you. All that takes place before you step into your commission to change your world. And I venture to say, church, that we have come up short when it comes to praying. We've come up short when it comes to praying. lot of times we see prayer as a struggle or a duty or something arduous. I'll tell you what, I've gotten to the place in prayer where I always come out refreshed and blessed and glad that I went to the prayer closet, glad I spent some time with the Father. You know, we can all get to that place where it's a joy to be in the Father's presence. And even in times when there's that labor and that travail and just that battle in prayer, the Holy Spirit is so faithful to bring me to a place of refreshing and rest and peace. Hallelujah. It all begins when you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you begin to speak with other tongues. I remember when I got saved back on April 28th, 1980. It was right around the Jesus Rally in Washington. And I got saved it was like an upper room, an apartment on Main Street in Medfield, Massachusetts. I'll never forget it. I got saved, prayed the sinner's prayer, and all of a sudden something supernatural happened. It was like Jesus walked in the room and He introduced Himself to me. He says, "I am Jesus." And those waves of love and forgiveness and everything about my life that I just could not stand, Jesus just washed it away with His love and His healing and His forgiveness. I never felt so much love and so much acceptance in my life as I did on that day. God touched my life. Do you remember that day when God touched your life? But then you know what? The people that led me to Christ, they told me about this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, boy, after sitting in that chair for 2 hours just being loved on by the Lord Jesus, they're telling me about there's something else called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You mean there's more? You mean I can have some more? There's something else for me? I want to get it now. So, oh no, well, you have to wait. You have to wait a little bit. I couldn't figure out why they wanted to. I wanted to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, if it was as good as God the Son loving on me and telling me how much He's pleased with me and accepts me, I want all that God has. I don't care what religion says. I don't care what men's tradition says. I mean, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues, when I heard people speak with tongues, I thought, man, this is the strangest thing. I felt so uncomfortable. Like some of you right now, when you hear me pray in the Spirit, you say, what in the world is that? Guys from another planet. God chose the foolishness of preaching to get men saved. Men in their wisdom think, I've got to do something to achieve salvation. But God chose to confound the wisdom of the world by saying, I choose preaching to save people. All they got to do is hear, believe, and accept. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe with your heart, confess with your mouth, and you're saved. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. A child can do that. It's just that simple. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is just that simple. John the Baptist spoke of Jesus. He was baptizing people in the River Jordan. When he saw Jesus, he talked about Jesus. He said, I'm one who baptizes the baptism of repentance through water. But there's one that comes after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I don't know if you've ever seen a landscape that's been touched by fire, but it changes everything. It'll burn out the chaff in your life. You might think, well, I got issues in my life. I can't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now. Yes, you can. The Holy Spirit will be like fire and He'll burn out the chaff in your life. If you say, well, I've got unresolved issues. Well, just pray this prayer. Father, go ahead. Father, say it again. In the name of Jesus, I release the offender in my life. I choose to forgive. I bless the one who hurt me. Thank you for your precious blood that cleanses me now. In Jesus' name. Now you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit. If you're a believer and you've been dealing with issues, you're ready to receive the Holy Spirit if you have not received it yet. If you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, the Bible says in Romans 10, 8, 9, and 10, all you have to do is believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him as your personal Lord. The Bible says you shall be saved. Maybe you're here today and you've never prayed that prayer. Oh, maybe you've attended church or part of a denomination and you might consider yourself a good person, but you have never prayed that simple prayer to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You can do that right now. It's just so simple. You, out of the sincerity of your heart, you say, God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. And God, I believe that you raised Him from the dead. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. And you know what? God responds to that prayer. He comes in and He takes up residence. And just like He did with the disciples, after He came into that room and breathed upon him, He will breathe upon you. He'll go, new birth. New birth. You'll be regenerated. You'll have the Spirit take up residence in your heart. The author of this book now lives in you. All of a sudden, the Scriptures come alive. You understand the Word. What you couldn't understand before, now you understand. I want to pray right where you are, that prayer. If you've never prayed that prayer, let me pray it with you right now. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm going to pray with you right there. If I'm talking to you, raise your hand. Raise your hand. You've never prayed that prayer before to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Anybody at all? Hallelujah. This is your day. I'm not going to call you up front, so don't be afraid. Let's all pray that prayer right now. And perhaps there's someone here, this will be the first time you pray it. God's going to take up residence in your heart. Pray this prayer, simple prayer. God in heaven, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Right now, Jesus, I call you Lord. Come into my heart. In Jesus' name, I'm born again. I have the Holy Ghost. He lives in me now. Hallelujah. Now we're all ready to get filled with the Holy Ghost. Many of us have already been filled. Some of you got filled and it was maybe a one-time experience, or maybe you prayed in tongues, dabbled around maybe a couple times. Or maybe, you know, if praise and worship is at that feverish pitch, all of a sudden something comes up like a tongue. But you don't have the regular practice of praying in the Holy Spirit. Today, the Holy Spirit is here to stir you up and bring you to the river of prayer, praying with other tongues. Perhaps you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. And you've never had the opportunity, the Holy Spirit, to immerse you, and all of a sudden something wonderful begins to emerge out of your heart. We call it praying in other tongues. And you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you raise your hand this morning? You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be ashamed about it. Amen. See that hand? Anybody else? I see that hand. Praise God. You might as well get it today. You might as well get wet today. You're by the poolside. I mean, it'd be silly to come by the poolside and not get wet. Amen. Who else? Anybody else? Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. I see that hand. God bless you. Who else? Now's your time. Hey, listen, you come to this church, we're a bunch of tongue-talking believers. If that makes you mad, well, I won't go there. But I know what praying in tongues has done for me. Did you ever wonder why Jesus never prayed in tongues? Do you ever wonder? I always ask that question. You ever wonder why Jesus never prayed in tongues? Ask your neighbor, did you ever wonder why? Dad, Del Turco, you ever wonder why that? Never wonder why that? I always wondered why. Jesus, and this is what the Holy Spirit gave me for an answer. Jesus had the Spirit without measure. He never had sin in his life. He had the Spirit of God without measure. Therefore, he did not need tongues. Are you listening? However, on the day of Pentecost, it's somewhat of a paradox. Because now God's Spirit was going to empower people who still had flesh, still had a fallen nature. And so there was going to be a battle that began to ensue in the lives of believers called the struggle of the Spirit and the
flesh.
Come on, everybody. Flesh. And when you begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, something rises up out of your spirit and takes hold of your mental faculties and takes hold of your flesh that wants to do things that aren't pleasing to God and takes hold of your mouth that sometimes says something you wish you never said. He immerses you and brings you under His control. Shatalama satalama dasta. The Bible says, forbid not to speak with tongues. Don't forbid the speaking with tongues. When we come together and we worship God, aren't you grateful for the wonderful band we have and the team we have, the praise and worship team? They bring us into the presence of God. But I tell you, I know what they're doing behind the scenes before service. We're fishing for the anointing. You know, prayer's like fishing. Shandala masa talamasasta, sambrondo stobrendeste, zombrande sestede. Then all of a sudden, something happens on the inside. The Spirit of God begins to speak. And that's the opportunity for you to open up your mouth and to pray and to prophesy. To pray and to prophesy. To pray and to prophesy. Listen, I remember a number of occasions, and it always seems to be like when I'm in the car. I'll be driving. I mean, have you ever driven in the car and you forgot where you're going because you've been praying in the Holy Spirit? That can be kind of a dangerous thing. I've done that on a number of occasions, Pastor Earl. We're going to a hospital visit, and I'm just preparing my spirit for the visit. Shandala masata, and I find myself 2 miles off course. You ever done that? Your mind becomes unfruitful, the Bible says. But as you pray with the Holy Spirit, there have been so many times when I was discouraged, when I was, you know, hit with something unexpected, when I was dealing with things in my emotions, I would pray softly in the Holy Spirit. I'm fishing. God, what's going on with my life? God, why did this happen? God, what's going on? And I'll continue to pray in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden, the Word of God, a scripture, something will begin to bubble up, and I'll begin to speak it out over myself, and I'll start prophesying over myself about the plans and the purposes of God for me. That's what God wants to do for you as you get out there and you start fishing. As you start fishing, the Holy Spirit will give you a tug. He'll remind you of a scripture. He'll speak to your heart. There's been times when just the presence of God in a richer measure would rise up and bring comfort and solace and just reassure me, you're on the right path. You're doing fine. You just hold it steady. Oh, we all need that. And we ought not wait till Sunday morning when pastor gets in the pulpit to receive it. You can receive it right at the point of your need. Hallelujah. In the natural, I'm not one that likes to fish. I find it very boring because I don't seem to catch many fish. Yeah, I need to grow in that area, Pastor Earl. You need to help me with that. But you know what? I enjoy praying in the Holy Spirit. I enjoy fishing. A lot of times it's just walking and praying in the Holy Spirit. Walking down in the basement where it's quiet, praying in the Holy Spirit, sensing the presence of God. All of a sudden the river begins to emerge. You sense a direction in prayer. You just begin to pray things out. You pray a prophesying. You can't pray in your own mental ability. You'll always come up short. But when you pray with the Spirit's help, oh, He'll take hold together with you against the infirmities of your flesh. He'll help you pray outside yourself. You'll be like Jesus in the earth praying. I know the Father hears Jesus. When Jesus stood and saw the tomb of Lazarus, what did He pray? He said, Father, I thank You. You always hear Me pray. You always hear Me pray. Would you like to have that confidence in prayer? No matter what station of life you're in, that you can tap into the presence and the power of God. Oh, what's he doing up there? I'm praying in the Holy Spirit right now. Tango radeste pedistula ba pradeste. Stombra desiste baladubra desiste namakada. I want you to just take a moment now. Begin to pray with your spirit. Close your eyes. Forget about who's around you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Patene macasti de le bedi doce la mate frastade. Oh, halabati se paladace. Sombrande le bedi badavajuba de che de menstagra. Brenstona maceste breteceste. Dure baba di zemba de bene madabras bede gile becadele ma as duba di sceste. Oh, Holy Spirit, we give You place. We give You freedom. Rise up on the inside of each and every one of us today. Satele matu rebatagere gidala makatasa. Stebele mahatu celebe de frispidia bada. Tomre de sitele madastuda. Step into that place of prayer right now. If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost and you haven't been speaking with other tongues, just receive it right now in the name of Jesus. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Bandele katere busta kramaste benche levete brukaste brejita rabata stada. Stombre diciste bradekeste badele mosto brodociste barabadasto. Hallelujah. Close your eyes, say this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You for the promises of Your word. You said You would send forth the Holy Spirit. I receive His ministry into my life right now. Jesus, I thank You for Your precious blood that cleanses me from all unrighteousness. Your blood gives me confidence and boldness to come to the Father and petition Him for my every need. Holy Spirit, I thank You that You've taken up residence, that You now come upon me in greater measure. Fill me, refill me with the Holy Spirit. Thank You for giving me the supernatural ability of God to pray in unknown tongues as the Spirit would direct. I thank You, Holy Spirit. Let that river flow, the river of prayer, in my life, that I would pray and prophesy concerning the plans and the purposes of my Father in my life. I receive it right now in Jesus' name. Now let's begin to pray concerning the plans and the purposes of God for International Family Church. You know, as the things that have transpired over this past week, I don't know what that does to you, but it drives me to pray. And right now, let's rally together as the body of Christ, the anointed body of Christ. You heard Pastor say it, the mighty, mighty church.